on this episode of The Kinked Wire.
You know, there are mentors, there are friends, there are colleagues, there are peers. They recognize, hey, we have this need, you have these skills, you know, how do we leverage this and really serve our patients to the best of our ability?
Welcome to The Kinked Wire, the Interventional Radiology podcast from SIR Publications. You can learn more on our website, sirrobb.org/kinkedwire. In this episode, host Warren Krakow speaks with physician assistants Carrie Hayes and Nick Gorodetz, chair and membership chair of the SIR NP and VA section, about how advanced practice providers can help interventional radiologists meet the needs of patients, the paths to becoming a PA or NP and IR, and more.
Hey, thanks a lot. And we're really excited to have Carrie Hayes and Nick Orvitz here from the MPPA section of the SIR. I think this is going to be a really unique episode because we get to talk to other extraordinarily important members of our team as interventional radiologists, and I guess even as radiologists. And, you know, some practices out there, some hospitals may not have the benefit of having advanced practice providers on their service or working with them. So, Carrie, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've got an interesting background from a radiology perspective.
Sure. Like most young girls, I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. So I started down that path doing my undergrad. I ended up working with a veterinary radiologist
who had
a cool practice. So we traveled around North Carolina providing both diagnostic and interventional services for canines and felines.
Primarily. Cool.
I fell in love with ultrasound during that time because it was a big tool for us and our daily work. Falling in love with ultrasound led me to become a sonographer. I did that for 8 years, sort of hit this glass ceiling, wanted to be more clinical, and became a PA. And so I've been an IRPA now for, I guess I'm in my ninth year. It's taken me from Houston, Texas, where I worked in a level one trauma center as the only IRPA for five docs, to Stanford, where I was primarily doing vascular access. Now I've finally landed with a smaller private practice, partner-owned, building IR capacity in the valley here, in the Rogue Valley of Oregon. My love really is ultrasound-guided procedures, but I also like building. I've helped to build clinic infrastructure. Just want to grow access to patients. I want to serve those that don't have access to IR.
That sort of imaging background is really interesting. I think sometimes PAs and MPs come from surgical backgrounds and, you know, other types of backgrounds into, you know, the sort of procedural realm that we're in, but it's all cool. How about you, Nick? What's your story?
So mine is a little less interesting than Carrie. It's probably a little bit more of the traditional pathway. From undergraduate, I went to a PA program in Ohio and really just fortunate dumb luck stumbled upon an IR position in Charlotte, North Carolina, which I've been at for going into my 19th year now.
Wow.
We have a pretty established APP practice. We have a total of 20 APPs in our group, and we have watched that grow tremendously over the last decade or so.
I think it speaks to sort of the diversity of backgrounds that perhaps that APPs have. And really, like, you know, what I think anyway are a lot of the benefits of being an APP that, you know, we as physicians are sort of typecast. You know, you become a radiologist or you become a neurosurgeon or an ENT, I don't know, whatever you are, and that's it. There's no ability to sort of move around and change. And I think the backgrounds that you guys come from and what you guys bring to the table and the ability to change, the ability to go from, you know, essentially one healthcare career to another, I think really enriches what you bring to the table and what you can bring to the table for IRs as well. So, Nick, are you at Mecklenburg?
Yes, Mecklenburg Radiologist.
It sounds like really sort of grown, you know, the APP section there. When you first got there, how did you go about trying to grow the APP component of the practice?
When I came on board, I was the fourth APP at the time, and it has evolved tremendously in my tenure there. But at first, I think it really kind of started out with having a supportive group of physicians that obviously felt that we had a role in the practice. And, you know, with that framework, adopted an onboarding process, if you will, to train us to do the various things that they wanted us to do. And that has just really evolved over the last several years as the group expands and as the services we provide expand, as the needs of the group change. I think, you know, everyone is pretty well aware that IR is moving more into the clinical arena, which is probably long overdue. And so we are finding new ways to utilize our APPs in that space as well as the procedural space.
What was your experience like, Carrie, building out west there, you know, with your imaging background? It sounds to me like you probably brought, you know, like some extra special stuff to the table as well.
I have to kind of echo what you guys are talking about and what Nick just said. I mean, we really come out of these amazing relationships with physicians. You know, there are mentors, there are friends, there are colleagues, there are peers. They recognize, hey, we have this need. You have these skills. You know, how do we leverage this and really serve our patients to the best of our ability? So I've had some great mentors over the years that have really kind of made me the PA that I am. You know, in my first role at Bentall Hospital, it's a level one trauma center in Houston.
Oh, sure. Of course.
The docs there just treated me like a resident. I mean, they threw me right in with the residents. They said, hey, you understand ultrasound. The procedure part, we can teach you. And then I was in a space where I was actually teaching residents, you know, for years there. So it's those mentorships and those relationships. And then recognizing the clinical needs even early on. When I started, we had no clinic. And when I left, we had a clinic that was running 5 days a week, 8 to 5. In my current role, we have an outpatient-based lab where I'm growing, you know, clinic infrastructure with the team there, you know, going from 8 patients a day to now averaging 15 to 17. It doesn't seem like a big jump, but it's a pretty big jump. And just the access now to patients. So it's really been out of these partnerships that we've been able to grow procedurally, clinically, and otherwise.
I think that's a wonderful model at a place like Bentall or some of these big academic trauma center types of places. And then to be able to sort of take that show on the road, so to speak, and again, be able to provide to a radiology group or a hospital. And it sounds to me like both of you guys work for the radiology groups. Obviously, there are different models where, you know, perhaps you might be working for a hospital, but in this environment anyway, where you can provide, you know, both clinical support type of work, run clinics, see patients in clinic, but then also do procedures. And that sort of gets me into my next question, which is kind of related to like an awareness type of thing, Carrie, that in some ways, I don't know the answer to this, but in some ways, it seems like there maybe isn't enough awareness among interventional radiologists of everything that APPs can do. And then sort of my follow-up question, which I guess I'll save for Nick, on the other side of the coin, from the PA perspective, like at APPA or whatever, how do you get awareness among PAs of what IRs are? Because we're kind of sometimes an invisible specialty, I like to say. But anyway, Carrie, let's tap your brain for a minute first, if you don't mind, from your perspective. How did that play out?
Well, I guess I'll start with this. I mean, I think when you look nationally at how many PAs are in practice or APPs are in practice, I think those folks working in IR, I mean, we're definitely more than 1%, but we're not sure that we've met the 2% threshold yet.
Okay.
Also, interestingly, when surveys go around about who practices where, what they do, you know, for the most part, we don't even really have a drop-down box. Hmm. Radiology is there, but it's not often that you see interventional radiology as something you can select as an APP. You often select the other box and then put interventional radiology. So there's a problem with collecting the data first, right, to figure out how many of us there are. Hmm. I think the other mystery is that kind of where we started, because we all have different pathways to land where we are, there is a lot of mystery about, well, how can Carrie do a port placement? How does she even know how to do that? There wasn't a special school that she went to that taught her to do that, right? So how do you get that training? I think there's also questions about how you even become a PA or how you become an NP. Yep. So there are a lot of questions there. And then furthermore, once we get in spaces, we often have to say, hey, did you know I can do this? I have this training. I have this skill. Mm-hmm. This is how I learned. Here are my case logs to show that I placed vascular access for over a year and I was trained on the job. So yeah, I think it is interesting, but where we thrive are settings where, you know, our team, our physicians, the group we're working with hear that and say, yeah, we need this for our practice for it to grow. And you have the skills. Let's work together. If there are things you know how to do, great. Let's do those. If you don't, let's get you up to speed.
And I would say, just from my own personal experience, I mean, I've worked in environments both where there were APPs and where there were not. And I can overwhelmingly say, as a radiologist and as an IR, that it just makes life so much better if there are APPs integrated into the practice. I sort of grew up, I guess I would say, in environments where there were APPs and then found myself for one reason or another in practices that didn't have that. And it's just such a glaring difference and really completely rounds things out. So for IRs out there who, for whatever reason, may not have the benefit of having APPs as part of their practice, I would entirely recommend looking into it, interfacing with the SIR MPPA section, check out the resources there, because it will really change the way you practice. And then, Nick, like I was sort of foreshadowing, IR is sometimes a little bit invisible, I think. I mean, you know, surgery jumps out, you know, primary care, ER, I guess, you know, as some popular options for PAs and NPs to go into. You know, how do you publicize us, IR, to your colleagues? I mean, is it something you do like at APPA meetings? Or I don't know, how do you folks hear about us?
Well, I think we've come a long way. I think we are no longer in the recesses of the hospital anymore. You know, 19 years ago, like I said, I had absolutely no idea what IR was, not at a physician level, certainly not at an APP level. And so, like I said, fortunately, I stumbled upon a great career field. And I think word is out, both in the physician practices and as well as in, you know, the hospital setting as well. A lot of things that I run into on a daily basis is I think that our clinical service has elevated us as a physical presence in the hospital, doing rounds, doing consults, having our opinions and our ideas in the medical record now, not just, you know, proceduralists, you know, just doing procedures in some dark corner of the hospital. So I get a lot of feedback from prospective PA students. We see it from people wanting to change specialties. They see what we do, and it's very intriguing. I admit it's I'm a bit biased, but it's a very exciting field, I think, for APPs. For the same reasons that many of the physicians went into the field, I think that's what keeps many of us in the field. I have no intentions of ever leaving. And we see that in our practice. We have a lot of longevity. I think there can be a bit of turnover sometimes in specialties. That is one of the luxuries of being an APP, but doing what we do, we invest a lot of time and resources in training. And so we want to keep people in the practice. And I think that this model has really lended itself to doing that.
All that Nick said, definitely agree with. And I also think anytime we get opportunity, I know personally, anytime I can talk to APP students about IR, I do. You know, I create workshops, you know, I go over scenarios, we do hands-on skills like ultrasound-guided biopsy of jello with olives in it, mentoring, you know, anytime I have opportunity to mentor a PA student that wants to become a PA and talk to me about IR, because we're still in that setting where a lot of folks will say, IR, what's that? So I agree with Nick, it's getting to the folks there as they're kind of exploring what that could look like. I would say we're very appealing because you get to use your hands, you get to be technical, you know, people maybe want to do surgery, but maybe not. So we're kind of in that nice little niche.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think that's, you know, like both of you have touched on it. I think that's the appeal for all of us in IR, or at least some of the appeal. And it's good to see that word is spreading at the APP level as well, that we exist, because, you know, as I've said, as we've all said, you know, APPs are a tremendous benefit. From the perspective of the MPPA section of the SIR, what kinds of things, resources, activities for APPs that might be listening are there, you know, to help them with some of the things that we've talked about?
Our section is organized into four committees. Those are annual meeting committee, which, as you might imagine, is responsible for all things annual meeting. We want to have robust programming. You know, we're kind of changing that up a little bit. We had our first M&M interesting case presentation at a conference last year that went really well. We have a hands-on workshop. We created networking events. We did happy hours. It was great. I mean, when you're that 1-2% and you're in a room full of IRAPPs, it's pretty awesome. That's annual meeting. We have the continuing education committee. You know, they're working to create content. They just recently did a biliary roundtable webinar that's available now for folks to see. Working on getting more CME opportunities for our APP membership. We have the clinical practice committee that's working about to talk about all things clinical practice. We're actually working on an onboarding manual right now for APPs and for providers, you know, talking with about clinical concepts as well as procedural concepts like TACE or TARE or liver biopsy or line placement or catheter placement. And then finally, membership, which is where Nick is the star. And obviously, the goal is to bring members in and raise awareness about what SIR has for them. You know, we're also looking to build opportunities, things outside of annual meeting. Annual meeting is where we all come together, but we want to build opportunities outside of that to network and sit and talk together.
You know, our goal here is to not only recruit new APP members to SIR, but obviously we want to retain and build value to existing members. And we recently launched a brief survey through SIR to both current members and prospective members to see what they look for in the value of the SIR membership. Obviously, our goal is to make SIR their professional home. But we understand that in order to do that, we have work to do to build APP specific content or stuff that is appropriate for the things that our colleagues are doing. I think the success of this field for APPs has quickly outgrown, the pace has outgrown some of those resources. So we're trying to kind of build upon what we already have. I get a lot of comments from new APPs and IR saying, hey, I've been hired, but they don't know what to do with me, or we're having trouble at the hospital credentialing level, or, you know, things like that. So just onboarding toolkits, I know it's going to vary considerably from practice to practice, state to state, but just some general templates as far as onboarding. Carrie had mentioned this CME is extremely valuable. There's a lot to learn for IR. And so there are members and our prospective members tell us that is a high priority for them.
We just recently worked to change some of the requirements to become SIR members as APPs. One of the requirements was that you had to have two physician letters of recommendation.
Yeah, I remember that.
Become an APP member of SIR. And we worked as a group and with SIR leadership to have that waived, which has been huge for us.
I guess as of last week when I met with SIR, we had 221 members, which I know kind of pales in comparison to our physician counterparts, but that is a 10-year high for us. And so, you know, we're going to take that momentum into this next year. And we really, really hope to increase our numbers even more.
With respect to the, you know, toolkits and things like that, I think that's just a terrific thing to do. And Nick, I'll ask you, I don't know if this is still the case, but I remember as recently as, you know, maybe even 5 years ago, there were issues in terms of what a PA could do. And it would differ from state to state with respect, for example, to using radiation or what level of monitoring needed to be present from a physician for specific procedures and so on and so forth. What is the status of that and how is that impacting things for you?
It still exists. Yes, there are several states that still do not allow an APP to press the fluoro pedal. Some of that is, I think they're antiquated laws. I certainly feel that there should be some education understanding of that whole ionizing radiation before being allowed to do that. But I think some of the hurdles are unnecessarily burdensome and it really limits the utilization of what we can do in some of these states. I think people have been very resourceful in finding ways to augment their radiology practices by not using fluoroscopy. They're doing more ultrasound procedures, doing more clinical work. There are a lot of strong APP and physician leaders throughout those states that are actively working on trying to change those. But as you can imagine, trying to push things through state legislature can be a bit of a bear at times and fraught with hurdles. But I think people are continuing to make strong efforts forward.
As a radiologist, I mean, of course, we would want everybody to have the appropriate training in radiation use. But, you know, you look at, again, not naming any specialties, you know, there are a lot of physicians in different specialties using radiation and, you know, in all likelihood, don't have the training that, you know, an APP who works in IR would have, and yet there's no barrier to those physicians using radiation. And I would agree, it seems rather antiquated. It seems to me that if you can demonstrate that you have the training, that should be the end of that. But of course, as you pointed out, these get into political issues. You know, we all know that the population of patients we're going to be caring for is really growing. We also know that the population of physicians is not being able to keep up with that. So looking at APPs, you know, that's probably the next step forward. Carrie, what do you think in terms of, you know, what role should APPs be playing on an IR team, especially going forward, considering that there are just not enough practitioners looking at the populations that we're facing?
I think it's really about this concept of the IR desert, right? I mean, we talked about that SAR a year or two ago.
Yeah.
How can we increase access to patients? What do they need? And how can we leverage the skill sets of our team to care for them? I mean, I think we're definitely very uniquely suited to handle this. You know, where I work currently, you know, being in a lower resource area, I'm an extension of my physician. You know, when he's in doing a GI bleed or a stroke case, I can still sit and talk with that patient about their cancer and mm-hmm. how we're going to care for them. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible, right? Because he's having to care for the more, you know, emergent needs at that time. So I think we're uniquely suited to do that. I mean, if they want to build, say, a small clinic in a rural area on the coast, send me there, right? Mm-hmm. I can go and see patients that normally have to drive 4 to 6 hours. I can offer a paracentesis to someone palliatively right. that normally has to drive 4 hours for that. Right. I can do that there in the comfort of the office. So I think we are that extension. The collaboration with our physician partners is how we're able to better serve the patient community.
Yeah, I think those are excellent points. I remember Laura Findice, when she was head of the SIR a couple of years ago, first mentioned that term of IR desert, actually, I think on a Kinked Wire podcast from I don't even know how many years ago. And I hadn't heard it before. And I, you know, sort of biased because I've always worked in large metropolitan areas. And as I've become more aware of this huge problem, I think that's an excellent role for APPs because, as you pointed out, if you're working with only one IR and that IR is doing, you know, some case that's going to take a long time. I mean, how long are the paras and thors and whatever patients going to wait, and how long should they be made to wait because there just isn't resource availability? And I think in a larger sense, you know, that's what we're talking about and what we're, you know, up against in the future.
Right. And furthermore, you know, the physician partnership, right? So now as I develop a relationship with my IR attending, I learn the way that he practices and how he wants to care for his patients. And even the language that he uses, the way he explains the procedure, you know, how he talks about risk benefit. So when I sit with his patient and talk to them, I have his voice in the back of my head. Like we've talked about this, you know, this particular physician, this is how he would want this conversation to go. Obviously, right. I put in some of my own clinical skills and thoughts and experience, sure. But it's so important. I would say for those practices that are looking at pulling APPs in that haven't done before, build a relationship with us. Let us get to know you. Tell us how we can help. Help us serve your patients together.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. It's been described to me by other APPs that, and this is what I have experienced, that APPs are sort of like perpetual fellows. You know, so when you're in the academic environment, you've got fellows to really sort of help you. And of course, they're learning. But, you know, once you train an APP, as you said, Carrie, to sort of the way you practice or tailor towards your practice, you've got like a fully trained fellow always available. And it's just such an amazing benefit and such an amazing difference. So hopefully we'll see those numbers that you cited, Nick, grow even more, you know, as a result of this podcast and other efforts. I know we're sort of winding down on time now, and typically we have, you know, like a closing question. So Nick, what during your career, I mean, at least 19 years as an IRPA, what's the biggest innovation you've seen in healthcare?
That is a tough one.
It could be anything. It doesn't have to do with IR or radiology, or even, you know, it could be healthcare policy related.
Probably the biggest one that I can think of, we're all kind of living in right now, and that is AI in healthcare.
Mm.
And I think that's probably a loaded conversation, particularly for radiology, but
yep.
I feel like it's, you know, it's coming, and I think we have to evolve with it. And I think it is probably the future of the delivery of healthcare and in some aspects radiology. So it's kind of really exciting just in a daily basis, just kind of hearing some of the chatter in the reading room with our mammo docs and our thoracic radiologists, you know, how they're integrating that into the practice. Yep. is extremely exciting.
I think that's a really good point and really affecting all areas of healthcare. And, it, you know, as you pointed out, you know, we see it in a certain way in radiology, but even not just in imaging, like, you know, some of the new speech dictation software and stuff, for example, has, if you see a thyroid nodule, for example, it will automatically put in the TI-RADS classifications and such for you. So certainly some benefits, but, you know, very loaded, I think is how you put it. How about you, Carrie? What caught your eye?
I think I'm going to be a little more literal here. I mean, interventional radiology, folks walk in, have their cancer treated, go home same day with a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much more innovative you can get than that. But beyond that, I would say telehealth. I mean, being able to sit and talk with a patient that's, you know, 6 to 8 hours away from me, or a patient that's not able to travel, to make sure they understand what's happening and you just have good information about their disease and how we're going to take care of them. So I think those are the two things that pop up, but I agree with Nick. It's definitely an exciting kind of area of uncertainty, you know, what's coming, but you definitely, we want to leverage it to serve our patients.
Yeah. And we all look at the pandemic, and certainly telehealth existed before that, but really came of age and continues to change the way we practice and how we practice, like unthinkable things 5 or 10 years ago. So really good stuff. And hey, listen, I want to thank you both. We've learned an awful lot about the MPPA section of the SIR and just how APPs can really enhance your practice. I really appreciate the effort you guys give to certainly the patients and the radiology groups you're with, but certainly for the SIR as well. And I hope the section continues to thrive and grow. And thanks for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for allowing an opportunity to come on the program and chat a little bit about APP practice in the IR space.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us. It's been a wonderful opportunity to get to talk. And also, you know, I want to say thank you to all the APPs out there doing that hard work every day. And a thank you to all the physicians who have trusted us and joined along with us to serve our patients.
That was physician assistants Carrie Hayes and Nick Gorovets talking with Dr. Warren Krakow about how APPs can enhance a clinical practice in IR. We thank our guests and hosts for their time and you for listening to the Kink Wire. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any thoughts or ideas for us, drop us a line at kinkwire@surwrap.org.